outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Cross-Dressing Halloween Costume Wearer.
Mr. Cross-Dressing Halloween Costume Wearer.
We know how you longingly look in your wife's closet when she's away at her mother's, wondering to yourself how a slinky silk cocktail dress would feel against your manly skin.
Sometimes you just want to feel pretty.
You killed two birds with one stone, Mr. Cross-Dressing Halloween Costume Wearer, creating a party costume and satisfying your deepest desires.
You sure have the legs for it.
Control top pantyhose sure does the trick.
No!
So this Halloween, when you see Ed from shipping in a wig, makeup, and a sequined evening gown, make sure to catcall and compliment Mr. Cross-Dressing Halloween Costume Wearer, a real American hero.
Mr. Cross-Dressing Halloween Costume Wearer.
Oh, those shoes are to die for. Do they come in a size 13?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, October 19th. A beautiful, beautiful day in Southern California after a rainy day.
It is nice.
Yeah. But I love the rain. I could use some more rain.
I don't think it's over yet, Sam.
No?
Mm-mm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to the show, Kara.
Thank you, Sam.
As I was telling you before, it's nice to see you putting on your face again.
It's been a few days, been a while.
I have to look at it every day, so it better look good.
And it just hasn't been up to par lately. I've just been, you know, I've been working, girl. I've got business suits now, and not really.
Yeah. So what about the, I mean, do you work there every day at the restaurant?
No, not every day, but it's like 5 days a week.
Yeah. So yeah. Did you wear something more conservative last night or what?
Yes, much more.
Because they give you a hard time about your skimpy clothes.
Well, the second day I was like, this will work, and mm-hmm. I threw it on, and they were like, your attire, how do we say this? This is an older clientele, and I was like, no need to go into it. I get it. It's skanky. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I said, it's not a problem. It's not a problem.
That's
so,
right.
No, it's fine. Yeah. No, but it's great to be working people. It's great to have jobs.
I mean, do you have clothes like that? Or do you have to buy some?
I do need to invest actually in some of them. But I do have some from when I've done sales and business stuff. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I just have to dig it up.
Yeah.
But today, everybody, Sam is wearing socks on his head. He has, a toothbrush attached to his sweater, and he's got a... Basically, what I'm saying is his wife is gone.
I see. So you're trying to say that I don't look as good as always.
No, I'm joking with you.
Yeah.
You look fine. No, but I was going to ask
course,
you. 2 days.
Take care of myself.
It's one day. It's one day.
One day so far. Yeah. And many to go.
Many to go. 3 weeks.
3 weeks he's going to be gone. Yeah.
But he informed us yesterday he's got a crew of people standing by that are there to actually...
At my disposal to do my laundry.
To do his laundry.
Right.
And I'm so jealous. I hate that. That's one of my number one things to do.
No, I'll probably end up doing it myself.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've been on my own since I was 16. You know, I've learned to take care of myself. It's just that I've gotten spoiled since I got married, you know?
That's what happens.
Yeah.
No, I was always like one of these kids growing up where like I've been working since I was like 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 19, I got into a relationship. And, you know, all that kind of went out the window.
Yeah.
It was just kind of one of these things where I was like, wow, this is nice having somebody, like, pay for things and make mm-hmm. sure you're okay and have all that stuff. And, you know, I kind of got into that, like, whoa, I'm totally lazy. But it's more, I mean, I snapped out of it, but it's like you kind of get a break.
You do, you know, when you live with another person or, you know, in a mm-hmm. relationship, whatever, they do things for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I got a lot. I got really, I just was kind of unrecognizable to myself for a while because I was like, everything's so much work. But then, you know, you snap out of it. But yeah, definitely when you have somebody there is doing it. I mean, I think a lot of people would kind of rest on their laurels a bit.
Yeah.
And not be up and going after it, I guess.
Yeah.
But you're still working hard. You're just not doing housework.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know,
you're not doing housework. You're not doing groceries. You're not doing laundry.
Exactly. I don't do any of this shit. But you know what? Now I'm realizing that when I'm on my own, I'm going to do these things, and probably including the laundry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that you realize, hey, I'm on my own now. You know, I got to take care of myself.
But she said she does, like, everything, right?
Yeah, she does. She really does.
But the good thing about Sam is that he's quick to admit it. You're quick to give credit where credit's due, and that's important.
Yeah.
And you recognize you value that.
Yeah.
It's not like, eh, whatever.
No, definitely. I appreciate it.
You really get it.
Yeah. I mean, when someone puts themselves out to do things for you, you have to appreciate it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. So she does the cooking, the cleaning, and you guys also have a maid, right?
Yeah. Well, once a week.
Rough life.
Yeah.
And we have a maid, our maid. But so you think you're gonna be eating out a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. Junk shit. You know, I mean, what else am I gonna eat? You know, unless I go out with someone like my kids.
Yeah.
And then we can go to a sit down restaurant and enjoy it.
So. You're gonna do drive throughs?
Yeah, things like that, you know. Maybe make sandwiches at home.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah. But it's going to get old. I mean, to eat out all the time, it's boring.
What does your wife generally cook?
All kinds of different things. I don't know. You know, meatballs, rice, chicken.
Oh, that's good. Meatballs.
Yeah.
Meatballs are
things
awesome.
Like that. Yeah. They've got those really unique meatballs you can get at Costco. They're like the best thing you ever tasted. I mean, they're greasy, but they taste so fucking good.
You have
know?
Me greasy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this new restaurant, I'm tasting all this food, and they had fried chicken night last night.
Oh, they did?
So I got a piece of fried chicken, and it was, they soak it in buttermilk and onions for 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then they fry
good.
It up in pork fat.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But I'm from the South. That's like an everyday thing there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like literally with my dad and my dad's girlfriend for a while. Anyway, I won't get into the whole family tree of the girlfriends, but, great woman. Anyway, she would cook, and like we would have bacon wrapped hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was considered
awesome.
And mashed potatoes, and like that's considered normal.
Yeah.
Like that's not stuff you should eat daily.
No.
But if you grow up in a culture like the South, that's kind of a daily thing.
Yeah.
So yeah,
your arteries are not gonna like
no,
that.
No, that's not good.
Yeah. But man, it tastes good, huh?
Yeah, bacon wrapped anything. You bacon wrap a freaking hairbrush, I'll eat it. One of my jokes that I did my last show was I was like, you know, don't put a salad in front of a girl from Texas unless it has a deep fried tire on it.
Really?
You know,
yeah.
Salads are decorative in the South. You know, we all, what do you want me to do with
see.
This?
It's just to add some color to the
table.
Yeah,
it's just decorative.
Huh?
It's a garnish. We don't do that, which is a joke. That's not true. But
that's funny.
It's,
yeah.
It's not true, but it's just playing on the stereotype.
Yeah,
of,
we're
you know,
stereotyping Texas, I guess.
Which is actually not true. I think that, you know, a lot of things start in New York and L.A. and a few places sooner, and then they kind of permeate throughout the rest of the country. And one thing I noticed going back is that, you know, actually these places have become a lot more health conscious. It's just kind of a slow, not slow, but, you know, a different kind of osmosis effect where people are, you know, they're counting their calories, they're doing the Weight Watchers or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, there's a lot of things that start in California and that they spread to other places, you know, like, for example, during our election, they have a proposition to legalize marijuana. Did you know that? Prop 19.
Okay, which I know what you're voting
and,
on.
And, yeah, I'm voting on that.
He's like, if anything else fails, I will be at the polls with my own bag of weed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, medical marijuana is one thing, but I'm envisioning coffee shops Amsterdam style.
Oh, okay.
You know, I would like to see that.
Now,
that
have you smoked the medicinal marijuana?
It's the same thing.
Oh, I thought maybe it was, like, stronger or
no,
more refined.
No, it's the same thing. It's just that under the cover of medicine, they sell that, you know.
Yeah.
But they do that in a lot of states, you know, and just about anybody can get a prescription.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal, but it's not still not accepted as a social thing, you know. So
yeah.
Once they have coffee shops like bars where people can go and hang out and stuff, that would be cool. I think. So I think it's just a matter of time, even if it doesn't go through this time, you know.
Are you,
next
so you're
year,
saying this is now clicking,
now.
This is now catching on in other states, or is, what are you saying?
Well, no, as far as legalizing it completely, that's something that California would be the first one in the states to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
It would be different from medicinal marijuana. You know?
Got it. I've still yet to ever smoke pot.
Really? You never smoked
I've
pot?
Never. I don't know what it feels like. No.
Really? Well, don't start. You might like it too much, yeah.
Really? So why shouldn't I try it?
I don't know. I mean, have you tried drugs at all in your life?
When I was 13, believe it or not, never drank, never been drunk, and I did acid.
Oh, my God.
Which is like the hardcore stuff.
Yeah,
but
that's
I was 13,
terrible.
And my friend's sister had some, and it was like peer. It was really like that typical.
Yeah.
It was that typical ad of peer pressure that happened, and I did it, but it was really.
That's enough to turn you off to drugs.
No, I mean, actually, it was a really fun experience. I mean,
really?
It was just very psychedelic, very.
Yeah.
Very Alice in Wonderland. And
marijuana doesn't work like that, though.
No, and it was something that lasted, I think, 10 hours. I mean, it didn't go away. But it was really fun, but it was one of these things where I just knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I mean, I knew my heart. I knew my
13
heart.
13 years old,
Yeah, I knew that I couldn't, do that. But I could also see, I remember being 13 and realizing how people can become addicted to stuff because it's such an escape from what your life is. So if you're in a really bad place and you can escape it, you know, it could be very addictive.
It can, but after a while that doesn't work either. You know, you just have to, you can't fix life problems with drugs. You know?
Oh, no, I don't think, I don't think people think it's really going to solve anything. They just don't want to feel.
Yeah.
So it's a more of a, let me take this and I won't feel the situation. I won't be, you know, and it just kills you, makes it even a million times worse. But I think that that's the mentality of like, it's just such escapism.
I guess it depends on why you use it in the first place. Yeah, I mean, if you use it to escape things, then you know, but if you smoke it for fun with your friends and stuff, I don't see anything wrong with that. It's just like drinking, you know, it's a social thing. So, you know, but who knows? So I don't know if it's going to pass or not. But like I said, if it doesn't pass now, it'll pass. But the potential of it for revenue to the state is incredible, you know.
Mm.
Although they're saying it's like only a small dent in the in our deficit. But they're saying it probably generate like $350 million a year or something, you know, in additional revenue.
Have you been watching the debates between... Carlisle and Boxer, I think it's her last name.
No.
For Senate.
Carly Fiorina.
Yeah. Carly, sorry.
Yeah.
She sounds pretty cool. I mean, I was watching the debate. She sounds like she's really on top of her stuff.
Really?
Well, what is she, the CEO of, was it HP or one?
Yeah,
of,
HP. Yeah,
HP.
And she got ousted because they were spying on executives in the company. Yeah, so they ousted her.
Ousted her.
Okay, sorry. So you say ousted, I say ousted,
tomato,
whatever.
Tomato. Yeah. I thought she did great she was really grilled on Fox News. I mean, they were giving her hard questions, and I felt like a friend of mine said, you know, government isn't just all about economics. I said, absolutely, that's correct. But I think it's good to kind of assess what is our country or our state or our city need now the most.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would agree that, you know, California needs a lot of financial, you know, restructuring and
obviously, you know, but I don't know that a former CEO can do that. You know,
I mean,
but
she's got a great track record though, and I mean that's the thing she's good at. That's the thing she did great at. I mean,
but so did Meg Whitman. You know, she did well at eBay, but I don't know that she's great for California. You know?
I mean, I don't know either, but I think there's something to be said for somebody that's actually gone out and been successful at that of which we need. I mean, you have, like, she kept using the term, you know, career politicians, and it's like a lot of people are good at being politicians, not necessarily getting anything done, not necessarily having a career outside of politics that was very successful. And I thought, you know, that's really a good point to look at somebody, like, forget the fact that you've been in Senate, forget the fact that you've done this, like, what have you done in the real world and been successful at? You know, it's almost like get those people on the job, get the people that actually had to earn that position and started from the ground up and have been successful at that, and let them have a swing at it.
No, that's true, and
you know,
I do believe in new spirits and new attitude brought into politics and stuff, you know, and I think she can do it. I think other people can do it, but at the same time, I don't really know much about her platform, so it's hard for me to say. I do know we need to get rid of Barbara Boxer. She's been there way too long, you know?
Yeah, she's kind of she's
yeah,
kind of
they
like
get corrupt, these people, you know, once they're in Washington for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we have elections, to replace people.
Well, even like this was in the interview, is that you know, San Francisco, I think it's the home place of Barbara Boxer.
Right.
They won't even endorse her and said she's way too radical to get anything done.
Really?
And then they said, what? And then the reporter said, well, you know, they're not endorsing you either, Farina. And she goes, well, of course not. I'm a conservative. But they did say that I would still be more effective.
Yeah.
And that's in San Francisco. So I think that's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
You know, that she kind of needs to get out. But she still has the favorites in the polls by like 3%. which is still marginal.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. We're going to get a call in a few minutes from Noelle Nikpor.
Oh, perfect.
And she usually has good insights into these things. I don't know how much she is into California politics, but,
I bet she knows her stuff, though.
Yeah. She does know her stuff, that's for sure. So what's new with you? What's going on? Are you, like, in a good mood lately?
Well, I've been under the weather, but I'm feeling like I'm popping out of it.
Really?
Yeah, having fun. Got a little more structure to my life, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm about signing up for a race of some sort. I want to do some kind of, 10K or something like that. I want to find maybe a half marathon and just do that, like start training for that, or some trail running.
Really?
Yeah, it's a fun way to kind of get in shape and to have a goal, and then you meet people, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's true. You haven't been running a lot, huh? Since you came back from Texas, I think.
No, I haven't been running as much as I used to run.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things where you kind of it goes in waves.
Yeah,
there's
the call. I'm sorry,
sure.
But that's probably Noelle. We always call her Nicole.
Hello.
Noelle, good morning to you. Sam and Kira,
hello.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. We were just talking about you. We've been talking about the upcoming elections and stuff. Let me just introduce Noelle. Noelle Nikpor is a Republican consultant and strategist, and you're usually in Arkansas. I see you're calling us from D.C., though. Is that where you are?
Well, I'm calling you from my D.C. number, but I'm actually in New York. I just did Hannity last night, and I'm doing a Neil Cavuto and Elliot Spitzer show.
Wow.
Later on.
Yeah, so you get on these shows quite a bit, huh?
Yes, especially this time.
Yeah.
With the election and considering the environment that we live in right now, it's pretty hot.
Right. So what is really, is there anything that's common to most of the elections in the country next month? I mean, is there like a problem that everybody's trying to address, or is it pretty much issues of the specific states?
I'm glad you said that. Yes, there is a problem, and the number one problem on the agenda is the economy / jobs. Basically, that's going to be the message of the Republican Party. Where are the jobs? November the 4th or 5th, I think a couple days after the election, the jobless rate is going, the unemployment rate is going to come out, and they are suspecting it's going to be 10%,
wow,
which is heinous.
Yeah.
And that, Obama said that we needed to pass the stimulus ASAP, hurry, 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 so that we can keep unemployment at below 8%.
Right.
Well, that's a lie. Look at it, zooming up, and look at foreclosures. Look at your state alone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's a lot of mess going on.
Mm.
Are you familiar with even a little bit with the California politics? I mean, obviously, it's at the top of the news. And but I know you're more East Coast, yeah. What I wanted to tell you is, I'm still confused. What is your take on the race between Brown and
Whitman.
Well, I just your state is in such disarray, and it's not even funny. I mean, a lot of pundits used to make jokes that California is going to sell off their assets, ha ha ha. It's not funny. I was just in LA not too long ago. I did a fundraiser for a guy running for state Senate in the district. And I'm going to tell you what, the foreclosure signs, just the feel of what's going on in the state. You have such a beautiful state, wonderful people, great industries, and, the weather and everything is wonderful in California, and you're taxed to death. As far as the candidates that you have, Meg Whitman, of course, I back Meg Whitman. I think she stands for something that's common sense and she can get the job done. That's just my personal opinion.
Right.
I feel bad that on the other side you've got Brown. Been there, done that, Brown.
Right.
What is he doing?
Yeah.
I mean, if the Democrats needed anything for a candidate for governor of California, they needed something fresh. What in the heck is this?
Yeah, I know. For those who don't know, Jerry Brown used to be the governor here in the 70s. And, Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what I'm asking too. It's like, who needs someone from the past? You know, we need someone new. But what does it say really for the politics in California that they haven't been able to come up with someone new?
It shows, number one, that the on the Democratic side, it's pretty screwed up, number one. And number two, on Jerry Brown, the only thing I really remember, I don't remember anything substantial from his tenure as governor, but I do remember him dating, I think, Linda Ronstadt.
Right. And wasn't he married to Jane Fonda, too, or am I making this up? I don't know.
That was Ted Turner.
Right. But I thought it was Jerry Brown first. What do I know? But
oh, how funny. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe they were together. Wow.
She looks so good. I think she's in her 70s, and she's so well-preserved. She actually looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I just saw a picture of her recently. She and Ted Turner have reunited to do something in politics.
That's interesting. Now, what other races are crucial this year, Noel? In the country.
Well, we have several. You know, if we're looking, let's just say, for example, senatorial. Of course, you know, you have Boxer, Carly. You've got Pat Toomey with Sestak in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bozeman and Lincoln in Arkansas. Rubio, of course, with Charlie Crist running as an independent. And then Meeks, who basically no one's talking too much about.
Right.
So you have, you know, a lot of key races. Mm-hmm. I do think the Republicans are going to take back the House. Mm-hmm. As far as the Senate, I think we have a very good chance of taking it.
Mm-hmm.
But things are like, you know, I just saw a poll recently on Harry Reid and Sharon Angle. It's a point. I mean, everything is close, close, close. A lot of things are within 5-point margin spread.
Wow. So we really split in the middle, mostly.
I got a question for you. So I was listening the other day with Obama right now. They're starting kind of like the campaigning right for the next administration. Is that correct? Just kind of pre-campaigning. And they were asking O'Biden, you know, O'Biden.
I love it, O'Biden.
That was such a mistake, but it was a fun one.
She did it with
O'Biden. They were asking Biden, you know, why didn't you guys go off of, you know, why didn't you go off of the accomplishments of the administration as far as your campaign strategy? And he said, it's just too complicated to answer is what his answer. That's what he literally said.
Really?
And that Obama, basically the strategy has been kind of like just basically conservative bashing and going, there's all this money that's possibly donated from dubious, you know, sources from overseas, and don't let them take away your democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been his speech. And I wanted to know your thoughts on that as far as kind of the strategy that they're going about and, you know, how they're kind of playing sides.
That is an excellent scenario that you brought up, and we're living it right now. Yeah, I mean, as far as Biden, I'll tell you what, the reason it's complicated is because they haven't done one holy heck of a lot other than increase our debt,
right,
and keep our jobless rate up and take over, you know, 3 or 4 pretty big industries in America. And so they don't have one hell of a thing to run on. So, yes, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
You
know,
in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was wondering because, you know, a few years back we had a Republican president. We had a Republican Congress. And, you know, and then the whole country changed into, you know, into the Democrat and stuff. And now I think we seem to be flipping back and forth every few years because we can't seem to get the right politicians up there.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And we actually talked about this on Hannity last night. And, you know, have you noticed that people are, you know, instead of voting for the candidate, they're voting against another candidate.
Right.
Like when Obama ran, they're like, if you hate Bush, vote for me.
Right.
And now people are like, if you hate the Obama administration, vote for me.
Right.
Have you noticed that it's basically about that?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of negative campaigning this year. I mean, I'm watching the ads on TV. I've yet to see one ad that actually talks positively about the candidate. They just keep on bashing each other, and that's all I'm seeing. You know, that's
well, I mean, and they're going towards personal things that are ridiculous, just like right. in Christine O'Donnell, mm-hmm. the witch. Come on. What is that? Yeah. I mean, get off that. Like, she's a real witch. I mean, yeah. get off of it.
Yeah.
Stupidity. And on Rand Paul, some college prank, or they said it was, they can't even prove it, that he told some girl, tied her up and said to pray to the god of Aqua Buddha. How stupid. I mean, this stuff yeah. is grasping at straws.
It really is.
Yeah,
it
it's really kind of like just get to what you're going to do, get to what you're going to contribute or your platform, and like just let's hear, you know, some answers, you know, as opposed to
but
this.
But you guys are right. What platform, other than bashing the holy hell out of their personal life, do they have to run on?
Yeah.
What do they have to tout it on, other than, we really can't lean on the Democratic agenda here, so let's just dig up their divorce record or anything we can find and blast the holy heck out of that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I see both sides doing that. You know, it's not just the Democratic side.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I think that's a terrible way for people to learn about their positions and their views, you know, because they don't really take out the time to tell you what they stand for. They just tell you what the other party stands for and how terrible it is.
Well, just like in Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown,
right.
I mean, if you ask an average person, they can probably tell you about the scandals
right.
associated or the mudslinging with each campaign. I doubt seriously that they can sit and go, you know, unless they're a Politico or they study this regularly, you know, that, you know, exactly what candidate is going to do to clean up California.
Yeah.
But I bet you they know about the housekeeper scandal and about
exactly.
Jerry Brown's gaffes. You know, I bet they know about all that.
Yeah. They need to explain it to the average people, you know. And, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here, I haven't read much into it and stuff, which I'm kind of ashamed of, because now is the time really to start deciding who I'm going to vote for. But, you know, just as an average person who watches the ads on TV and stuff, I haven't learned a thing from them. You know, I just, like you said, I just see that they're like at each other's throats and how terrible the other person is. But I don't see their points. I don't see what they're going to do for California. You know, or...
Well, politics has turned into basically branding. I mean, it's like, here is candidate X, and what can we do to market and sell this candidate? What's the gimmick? Mm-hmm. And that's really sad. I mean, we're talking about, these are people that make our rules
right.
and that govern us. I mean, that's sad that we're looking at this like a brand of Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you, I was watching the Fox News did a really good interview with... Carly, what did you think about her and the Barbara Boxer, as far as what do you think about her, you know, as a potential for representing California?
Carly?
Yeah.
Fiorina. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are two strong, opinionated women. You know, I agree with Carly more so, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I think that I think she could really bring something to the table. And, you know, Barbara Boxer, she's had her day, you know. And I don't mean anything by her age. I mean, she's had her day. She's had her chance to make change and do things.
Right.
Turn it over.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. I mean, she's been around just too long, you know. We need someone fresh.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel like, too, I mean, is this a naive way of looking at it? But I feel like, you know, you look at the state, state of the economy, or you look at the social issues or whatever, and you look at the country and your state and you go, okay, what does it kind of need right now? What's the most, the biggest need? And then is it naive to think, you know what, this person's actually gone out and done it and ran a huge, huge, huge company successfully, maybe because they have a track record of actually being good at something and they're an expert in this field and this is kind of what we need right now. Boom, that would work out. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's a really good platform in and of itself. Like, politicians, you know, like, what have they done?
It is very good. I mean, basically, your vote, you're the interviewer, and the candidate is applying for the job. And your vote is basically, how it gets done, or their check. You give them the vote. And basically, you look at someone and you say, well, you've run a company, you've done this, you've done that. I think you can take California to the next level, meaning, you know, there's not very far up to go. I mean, you need to fix the economy of California. It's in the tank. And jobs and taxes, and there's so much to do that wouldn't you feel better handing it over to someone that's ran a corporation, checks and balances,
right,
that actually had to be held accountable to stockholders on what's going on when there's not a profit?
Well, that's what she said in her interview. She's like, look, you know, there's waste. You know, in a company, basically, you look at the waste, that you look at it, and she said there's like $1 billion or so dollars that are unaccounted for, that mm-hmm. nobody knows where it's going, and that there's just no checks and balances there, and that to her, she's like, that's just kind of asinine. Like, in a company, that doesn't
matter. Well, do you remember some sheriff or some police officer or something, state official in California in a small town was getting paid $300,000 or $400,000 a year?
What?
Mm. Really? Do you remember that?
Really?
It was in a small town.
We don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
No.
That's crazy, though. Like, was he?
Yeah, it was in a small, small town, and it just that's some of the example of waste. Some government employees that, you know, state employees that were making X amount, ungodly amounts of money, mm-hmm. a lot of the state cars, just a lot of waste.
That's what she
Things
said.
That were in a corporation would never, yeah, that would never be allowed.
She said, you know, basically that there's, regardless if a program meets its criteria of requirements, it automatically gets a 36% increase as far as funding the next year.
Well, I got one example for California, and that's Chris Christie. Look at New Jersey. That state was hurting. It had a big Band-Aid over it. Mm-hmm. Look at that. And if Chris Christie could get in there and clean house, why can't someone like Whitman? Why can't someone like Carly get in there and clean up the old ways of the administration that's not working?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot to say about that, but we'll see in a couple of weeks what happens. And what do you predict, Noel? Do you think in 2 years Obama is gonna win again, or do you think he's done?
Well, there's two things that can happen. If the Republicans take back the House, let's just say we end up taking the Senate as well. Who knows? and we fumble the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's going to place Obama right back where he needs to be.
Right.
If we stand our ground and we don't let any more of his socialistic radical policies go through, or we hold his feet to the fire and make him tweak it the way we need it, then we're set for 2012 because we show that we can take control. So we have actually a harder task by taking everything back, because he could turn around. He's famous for pointing the finger.
Yeah.
He loves to do the blame game. So, you know, we have to really watch it. And those people that market for Obama are slick. They're very slick.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, Noel. Well, tell us where we can see you. You're going to be at Fox again tonight? Or
I will be on Neil Cavuto on Fox Business at 6 p.m. Eastern, and then I will be on Elliot Spitzer's show called Parker Spitzer at 8 p.m. on CNN Eastern.
Wow. So you're keeping yourself busy. And everybody who wants to learn more about Noel, it's Noel Nickpour, noel-nickpour.com for her website. Noel, always a pleasure to talk to you, and you're always enlightening us. And all the best to you.
Thanks, Noel.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Until next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Noel.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, she knows her stuff, you know? I mean, wow, she goes on Fox all the time. But she likes talking to us, too, you see?
Yeah.
Because we are so ignorant.
We're like, hold up, Wales is a country? What? Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned yesterday that we thought it was a city. I didn't think it was a city. I thought it was sort of like a
state.
No, but yeah, maybe a state,
like a
or like, yeah, Providence. Thank you.
Like a province.
That's what I was thinking.
Province or Providence?
Province. Yeah, thanks. Not Providence.
Hope you guys find our ignorance as entertaining as we do.
So
I hope you're not. I hope you're
sometimes.
Not as disgusted by it.
Well, that's why we're not a political show, you know.
I mean, we go there, but you know, we tap, we touch and go, touch and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you hear that a couple bullets were shot at the Pentagon this morning?
No.
They don't know who it was, but there were a couple bullets, and one of them actually got lodged in the window. They have bulletproof windows, so the bullet just got stuck in the glass.
Thank God.
Can
at
you
least
imagine?
You know they work, huh?
Yeah.
It's good way to test out those bulletproof windows.
Yeah. So who knows? They're saying at least 5 shots were fired, but 2 bullets hit. So I'm wondering what that is. You need a lot of balls to do something like that, huh?
Yeah, or a lot of crazy or a death wish. You're kind of like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know if that's a really good career criminal move, if you're really hoping to kind of still, you know, have a normal life after that. I mean,
yeah.
If normal is even part of your vocabulary. You know what I mean? Like, it's not one of those things I think you're going to be able to get away with too much.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to find them.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at that stuff, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe yeah. They are. I don't know. But, So did I tell you I went for a tooth implant the other day?
Really?
As you see, I'm missing a tooth,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Because,
I saw it the
because
other day.
I lost a crown. I had a crown on my tooth, and
yeah.
And they can't replace it because there's not much tooth left. So I decided to get an implant. These things are fucking expensive,
really?
Too, let me tell you. It's like, what is it, $2,500 or something? And
what?
Yeah, and the insurance doesn't cover. Listen to this. The fucking dental insurance is not going to cover it because they consider it cosmetic. Now I'm asking you, how cosmetic is it when you need a fucking tooth to chew with? You know? I mean, what is this about? So they keep on screwing us, all these insurance companies.
Uh-huh.
I'm really sick of it, you know? But at any rate, I mean, when I went in and they told me all the stuff they were going to do, I was going to leave, you know? I was just going to run out of there. It sounded pretty
really?
Gross and intimidating, but no, I stayed. And what they
what
do
is it
going
to cost you?
$2,500.
Oh man, for a tooth?
Yeah, but you can't go around. I mean, luckily it's not in the front of my mouth, so I don't have to.
You
walk
only
around
see
there.
It if you laugh really.
I know if I laugh really loud, it's like off on the side on the top. But,
it's kind of funny too.
Yeah, I know. Well, can you imagine how funny it would look if it was in the front? I would die.
Yeah, but no, it's funny though when sometimes you get laughing and the hole pops out. You're like, that's it's kind of endearing. I don't know. Maybe
it is.
Just...
Well, enjoy it while you can, because in about 3 months it's gonna be gone.
Oh, really?
It's that's how long it takes it for it to take, you know? Because what they do is what they did is they extracted the tooth, they put material in there, and then they screw this thing. It's like looks like a screw. He was using like a wrench, you know.
Dude, dentists do scare me. I had a tooth pulled and I cried when they pulled it.
Really?
Just because
I couldn't even feel it.
No, it wasn't that I felt it. I felt the pressure.
Yeah.
And I felt the.
It's like you hear them like pulling it out.
I'm like, you're taking something out of my body. I was like bawling. I was like, and then like my lips were swollen and I had all this cotton in my mouth and I was crying.
Yeah.
I looked like somebody beat me.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
Yeah, so now they screwed that thing, and now it has to sort of like mesh with a bone, with the jawbone.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
And then they're going to add the tooth, the crown on
that's
there.
All. It just has to kind of get along with the bone.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully they play well
takes,
together.
Yeah, but it's pretty traumatic to go through this, although, you know, when I got it wasn't half as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I have a friend that she has like a small little retainer that you can't even see.
Right.
And there's a tooth attached to
right.
it.
Right. That's what they were going to give me, like in the meantime.
Yeah.
But it sucks because you have to have something in your mouth all the time, like braces and shit, you know?
Well, she says it doesn't really bother her.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, I mean, if it was in the front and I had to wait 4 months, I would do that. I mean, you can't walk around without a fucking tooth. You know how stupid people look without teeth?
Well, my buddy John, he's homeless, but he doesn't have any teeth. I've kind of gotten used to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because
well,
he has like
when
a...
you yeah, I mean, you're talking to a homeless man. It's not the same.
Yeah.
As me.
Yeah, his teeth are gone.
Walking around without a tooth, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how somebody that's young loses all their teeth. Like, he's probably in his 40s or 30s.
Really? Well, yeah. But if you don't take care of them, you know, I mean, how much do you take care of your teeth when you're homeless?
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I'm wondering if drug use has something to do with it.
Maybe. But, you know, a lot about teeth is genetics, too.
Mm.
You know, I mean, they say, like, cavities and stuff is genetics, you know?
That's what I was told, because I remember, like, my parents really didn't take us to the dentist for a long time. And then finally, when I got insurance when I was, like, in my 20s, like, well, I'm still in my 20s, but I was, like, 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. And I got insurance. I, like, went to the dentist for, like, the first time in 10 years or something like that. And I was like, oh God, I'm probably gonna have cavities and everything. And they're like, nope, your teeth have no cavities. Your gums are
really?
They're like, so, your gums are great.
Yeah.
They said good genes.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's cool. I mean, I brush my teeth and do average normal things to my teeth, but
yeah.
They said, I know people that have way, like one of my roommates, she's like a compulsive flosser and mm-hmm. you know, brushes her teeth all the time and
right.
She would get cavities, you know.
Right,
and it's like
right.
it's very genetic.
Yeah, it's with me too. I mean, I take great care of my teeth, but yeah, sometimes.
And there's
just,
me. I'm like a little slob. Go to bed with my makeup on sometimes. Just like, oh, my teeth aren't going anywhere. I'll brush them in the morning.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Teeth are fine, thank God.
I think
that's a gift.
Teeth are like so important, you know. And when you lose them, it's hard, you know. You can't enjoy food, can't enjoy anything, you know.
Is it affecting your eating right now?
No. Not at all. I eat on one side, you know. It doesn't hurt, you know.
Not at all. I just chew to the left.
I took a couple of Vicodin and stuff, you know, the first couple of days.
Mm, what does that feel like?
It kills the pain.
That's it.
And but it feels a little good. You get a little buzz from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I can see how people can get hooked on that. It just makes you feel kind of peaceful, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. But.
Well, I can't wait to see the new tooth. Let's see it now. Go, ah.
No, you can't see a tooth there yet.
I know, but how bad is it? Let me see.
It's the same. I mean, it's like no tooth.
Yeah, it's really far back there.
Yeah.
You can't really tell.
There's no tooth.
Yeah, you can't really tell. Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah. So you know what the cool thing was is that they took my blood pressure and they're saying your heart is like a 20-year-old. And, I mean, can you believe this with all the smoking and shit that I
really?
Do and stuff? Yeah. It's amazing to me, you know? And that's why I think that's genes also, you know?
I would it's still like, quit the smoking, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for you.
I know.
What do we got to do?
I know.
What do we got to do?
What am I going to do? I don't know, man. I got to put my mind to it and just do it. You know?
What do we got to do?
They sure are making it more difficult to smoke, though, let me tell you. I mean,
really?
You can't smoke anywhere, even on the street. Like, if you go to Santa Monica, you can't smoke in the street either.
Mm. No, you're right, actually. A friend of mine smokes, and, like, we would usually go sit outside if we went to a coffee shop or something, and they've got a lot of smoke-free zones.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, where do I go to smoke? And, you know, I can't empathize too much because it's not my habit, and it's not
right.
something that I want to be around. I mean, it is really – like, I'm one of these people that I don't want to make the person feel bad, so a lot of times I don't say anything. But my friend's smoking near me, and she thinks it's not in my face, and she's trying to hold it over here. And I'm like, I'm fucking inhaling your cigarette smoke.
Really,
and it makes
yeah.
me angry.
But, yeah.
You know, and I'll sometimes go, oh, it's over here still, you know, and
yeah.
it's like, it's hard for me to care, you know, and empathize. I mean, I believe in freedom and I believe people should be able to do what they want to their body, I guess.
Right.
To
right.
a degree, you know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm very considerate. Even on the street, I'm like, sometimes I think I'm like pathetic because I try to keep the smoke away from everyone and stuff. It's like caring too much, you know, about what people think and how mm-hmm. it's going to affect them. But I'm like
just
that.
Go,
you
like,
know, I agree
with
you.
Go somewhere alone in a dark alley behind
right.
a dumpster and light up and we'll
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
See, that's what I think. I mean, I personally don't think I should impose my habits on other people. And smoke can be offensive, and, you know, so I understand. I
yeah.
totally understand.
I mean, at the same time, it's gotten, I guess some of the laws have gotten to where you guys can't have it in your own home.
Right.
Or your own apartment.
Or in the street when there's nobody around, you know? I mean, what the hell, you know? You can pull your car over and get out and have a cigarette or something, you know? What the hell?
Yeah, I mean...
California is way too strict, man. I can't believe all the shit that they're doing. You know?
It's really bad business climate here. It's been bad business climate for a while, but the taxing and everything. I don't get the whole mentality of we need jobs, so let's tax the rich and let's tax the businesses and the small business owners. It's like, I thought it's known that when you do those taxes, it's only passed to the consumer and that it lays people off at their job
mm-hmm.
and that it's counterproductive, you know?
Yeah. But there's just so many different variables that it's hard to really figure out what to do and what not to do, you know, because you fix one thing and then three
yeah,
other
Yeah, you're
things
right.
Get broken.
I know it's not like one answer. I mean, you're right. There's not going to be this fixes this and then everything's fine. You're right. Or they would have done that. But it seems like that's what we're seeing is, you know, these tax increases on the small businesses and the Bush tax cuts are about to expire and
mm-hmm.
just how businesses are already leaving LA and leaving California, and the people that have money that we kind of need to stay here are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, but, you know, industry's changing. And I mean, you know, the film industry's changed a lot over the years for a long time. And
mm-hmm.
that's really cost the city of LA a lot of money.
Mm.
They go to all these different other places where they have tax breaks and tax incentives and things like that. They've got filming incentives come to our state, film here, film here.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Canada and, you know.
Yeah, Michigan, Louisiana, a lot of places with filming.
Yeah.
It's like really, really.
I know, a lot of companies have left California because of it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just too much. But it's too much.
Yeah, that's why we say legalize pot. You know what's funny about this is that I remember when I was like a young teenager, my dad came to America on a trip and stuff and brought me back a jean jacket, like a Levi jean jacket, which was really cool, you know, in the 70s and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then some patches to put on there. And one of them said legalized pot, but I never knew what it meant. I didn't know English that well yet.
That's funny.
I know. So now it occurs to me I was wearing that when I was a kid. I was totally anti-drugs and everything, you know, and I didn't even realize what I was wearing on there.
That's funny, but your dad did. He's like, oh, let's get him started.
No, he didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have brought it if he knew.
That's funny.
You know, and now I'm thinking about it. It had like the leaf, you know, but who knows? Who knew about marijuana at that age?
What age were you?
I was probably like 13, 14 years old. Yeah.
I'm not going to be having my kid campaign for legalization of any drug.
Well, like I said,
age.
You know, if my dad knew what it meant, he wouldn't have brought it.
Oh, you don't think he knew?
No, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Legalized pot. Yeah. Who knows what pot is? If you're not, you know, if you're not American, you don't know what pot is. People call it so many different names around the world.
What do you call it in Israel, Hebrew?
You don't. Marijuana, pretty much. But you know, I mean, there's places they call it ganja and, yeah, in South Africa, I think they called it that.
Ganja?
Yeah.
That's funny.
There's a lot of different names, yeah. But people know it as marijuana. You know, I think pot is a slang name for it. But you're stretching. You're ready to go?
No, I'm just a little sleepy. You know, yeah. So at my new job, there's that guy that works there, and I say that guy in quotation marks, mm-hmm. which I thoroughly enjoy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Really good looking, mm-hmm. Kind of ladies man kind of guy, and knows he's good looking. Mm-hmm. And because I'm new, he's kind of feeling out the waters. It's very much like National Geographic. He's kind of like using a couple lines on me, and he's finding an excuse to kind of touch me.
Mm.
And it's really very, very, very comical. It is so funny. And I'm like, I enjoy it because it, you know, makes work more fun.
Yeah, and you like the attention.
Oh,
of course.
Hello. Yeah, you guys know that by now. But no, it's like I'll go up to him and be like, hey, did you do X, Y, and Z? I was supposed to tell you. Like, I'll relay a message to him. He'll be like, hey, girl, you know I got it.
Really? Is that how
he'll make
so?
Like some. It's very visual. If you guys could see the invitation, it's really funny. But he kind of looks me up and down, and he'll find a reason to like, hey, okay. And then I'll walk by, and I'll kind of go, okay. And he'll like touch my back or my stomach or something like that. Or
yeah.
He'll find a reason to like kind of, you know, brush me or whatever.
Really?
And then
wow.
He's kind of like trying to see if I'm digging him.
Uh huh.
And I find it really, really fun to have like a little office crush.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's that kind of guy though, you know, that like, hey.
What is he, a waiter?
He's a server, yeah.
Mm. Wow. Mm. So do you like it? You like the attention, right?
Yeah, it's I find it very, it's flattering, but it's also very entertaining.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I know I'm not going to go there with that person, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why do you know that?
Because you can tell if somebody's not genuine.
Mm.
And you can tell if they're not, they're just doing it, it's an ego thing for them.
Yeah, so you think they do it with every woman and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or any attractive woman. They're gonna, you know, like I could introduce him to five of my friends and he'd do the same thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's
like it's
true.
It's not really a reflection of me as much as it is, hey, this is a good looking girl. Let me see if I can get her affection to make myself feel
right.
like a bigger man.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it, but it's not like I don't take it serious.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really entertain somebody like that because it's not.
No,
nothing.
We'll wait and see. You might fall in love. Who knows?
I'll fall in love. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
No?
No, not at all. I'm kind of over that right now.
Yeah.
Still healing from the Texas situation. And I got to tell you, you know, it just, that happened so quick. And it's so funny how I like share all this with you guys. You know, it's a lot. Relationships are so much work
mm-hmm.
that you feel like when you're out of it, you feel like you just ran a marathon.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? I'm good. I am not interested. I just go out and have a.
Well, that's not a good relationship, then, Kira.
No,
I mean,
it's not. It's not actually.
Like that,
it's
really.
A beautiful. This person is a beautiful person. And
I'm sure.
No, it wasn't a bad situation. It was just we want different things.
Right.
And because of that, you know, two people are constantly kind of fighting to get their things from the person. And hopefully that person will fit into their box and you'll fit into their box. And
right.
you kind of are trying, so you're giving more than you would normally, and they're giving more than they would normally, but still not enough. And so then you kind of feel like empty-handed at the end of it. You're like, wow, right. You know? And I mean, I'm not like depressed or anything about it, because I feel actually a sense of relief.
Mm.
You know, it's a sad thing, because I love that person. I'll always love that person. I'll never not love the person.
Right.
But it also makes you...
It just made it too tough for you.
Yeah, but it's also one of these things where you're like, you know what? If I have to be single the rest of my life, I mean, even though I'd like to be with somebody, I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because if it means like being with somebody means I can't really be who I am and what I want to do in life.
But it doesn't mean that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I think you're right.
You might find different relationships that are different.
Well, you know? I think in theory you're right, but I'm not an average girl. Mm. So, and what I want to do in life isn't normal.
Right.
And I don't find like most guys are into that. Mm. Like most guys want a woman to be behind them and support them. And I'm kind of like not that girl right now.
Right. You want a guy that supports you and everything.
Yeah.
And you're the star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we can go with that.
Well, I'm just saying it's not normative, so I don't think it's going to be as accessible. Like, every guy I've met that I've really been attracted to or liked, I mean, they don't want to... Like, I even was dating a comedian who's pretty successful, and he basically said, essentially, he doesn't ever want to be with a woman that has a more successful career than he does.
Yeah, well, that shows you how much confidence he has. Anyway, Kira, time is up. It looks like it's going to rain again.
Are you excited?
The sun's gone.
You going to go splash in the rain now?
Yeah, I love the rain, man. It rained pretty heavy last night, and I enjoyed that a lot. So, anyway, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.